good morning, Inga, and welcome to Arts Canvas.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Now, I really loved your book, Mr. Wig. It comes across very modest, but it's actually very profound, and it's a charming book. And I do wonder, when you were actually writing it, whether you felt the urge to race off and make jam.
I do a lot of cooking, so probably cooking is part of, you know, my daily or weekly routine. Not so much jam, though. But I do like cooking with fruit. I think that probably comes out in the book.
It does, because we have this beautiful character, Mr. Wig, who continues to take care of his orchards and make produce from the bounty. After his wife has died, he's sort of trying to fill in his time a little bit, isn't he?
He is. Though, I mean, my feeling was that that was his routine before. But yes, there is more time to fill in each day, you know, the space that's left behind when, you know, a partner goes. Loneliness, I guess, and seeking solace and comfort from his fruit trees.
Yeah, and they're beautifully described too. It made me want to go out and plant orchards, really.
Oh, good. You should.
If I had room. I absolutely would. Was he based on anybody you knew?
The original ideas came from my own grandfather, sort of a childhood, you know, affection memory of my grandfather, and he had a fairly magnificent orchard, including a white peach tree. And I've never had peaches like that since, so I guess they've taken on fairly mythical proportions in my memory.
Mm.
And I didn't know him very well. You know, our interactions were really based around food, him bringing me this and that, treats, ginger beer, you know, that sort of thing, and a few words exchanged, but I feel as if I got some sense of him from that. And that's how it began. I mean, in the end, Mr. Wig became very much his own character, I think, you know, a long way from my grandfather, but that's where it began.
Mm, there's usually a sort of starting point for most authors with these sorts of characterisations, though, isn't there?
That's right, and that's your inspiration, but somehow, well, for me anyway, the character takes on a life of their own, and then you have to make that character work within the world of the novel itself. So by the time you're finished, you know, a fair bit of transformation has taken place.
Of course, it's not just a novel about Mr. Wig. It's about his relationships with his family, which are slowly revealed to be rather fractured, aren't they?
That's right. And, you know, in my experience, not that uncommon in farming families through the generations. But I didn't want to have it at the forefront, you know, like a big melodrama. I think that shift between the generations, the downsizing of farms, old practices of passing land, you know, from father to son, left women in an odd position, you know, which became less comfortable as time went on, I think.
Now, he's actually quite a creative character too, Mr. Wig, because he works out in his shed making sculptures from iron. He had a sort of a little bit of blacksmithing sort of experience, but he actually gets quite creative with it. Was that sort of something that you also saw as you were growing up, that a lot of the people in the bush and the farmers that you knew had that other side to them?
I saw it in my own family and some others, but blacksmithing was something that was practiced within my own family, more by my father. Well, I saw my father doing it as a child rather than my grandfather. Though my grandfather did have a forge, they must have taught my father, I assume. Skills are there, you know, whether they're used in just a practical sense to build something or to repair a machine or invent some addition to a machine that makes their work easier. Rather, but I think, yes, there is a creativity there which is not always seen, you know, for the outside world.
Now, you haven't been to the Byron Writers Festival before, have you?
Not as a guest, not as a writer. I've been there as a happy-go-a writer and reader and member of the audience.
Well, that's interesting. How many times did you actually attend the Writers' Festival just as you say, a member of the audience?
Two or three times.
Did you find that it helped you as an aspiring writer to be listening to other writers' procedures and stories and methods of attack and things?
Oh, absolutely. I think every time I go to a festival, you know, it's inspiring as a whole. You know, there are always a number of sessions that surprise and inspire you, a number of writers that perhaps you didn't you know that well. He hadn't read their work, but when you hear them speak and read from their work, you know, it's sort of like discovering someone new. And yeah, a lot of writers are very good at imparting writing tips or, you know, insights into their writing practice. And I don't know, one of my first Byron festivals, I heard Charlotte Wood speak, and she said something about, you know, not writing for the money. If you wrote for the money, it would break your heart. And, you know, really, you know, strong moment. And a lot of people, you know, she was quite emotional when she said it. And, yeah, I really took notice of that. So, yeah, there are little lessons on how to go about being a writer and persisting on that sort of thing that, yeah, I think you can get a lot out of hearing them speak and relating their experiences of how they came to be published and so on. So, yeah, very valuable.
Yeah, I really think Mr. Wig is a book that's been written from the heart. It's really charming. And we look forward to seeing you at the Byron Writers Festival. And thanks for talking this morning, Ingo.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks very much.